Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 588. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Jeremy Mays. What is up, good sir?
Hey, what's up, man? How are you?
Doing pretty good.
We've talked for the last 45 minutes.
Yeah, things are looking up, hopefully, on the job front here. But until there is pen and paper involved, I am not counting any eggs hatched. Hey, aside from that, professional wrestling, I felt like this week was pretty decent, all in all. There wasn't much in the way of wrestling on Raw, but I did think that they had some good promos on there.
Okay, we talked before, I haven't really paid too much attention to Raw or SmackDown. Randy Orton's awesome right now. That guy's great. I mean, there's conviction in what he says. He looks like he's actually into it, and I guarantee you, that's him doing that. That's not someone writing something for him. They're like, all right, Randy, it's you. He's like, I got this, and he just walks out because he can get away with it. He doesn't need WWE. Shahid and I talked about that over and over again. He doesn't need wrestling anymore. So what's McMahon going to do? Like, no, you have to stick to this. Quit.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, because he's got the stature. But yeah, anything with him, and Drew McIntyre has been great too.
Yeah.
Drew's kind of miscast as a good guy, but he's a badass too. So,
well, they've kind of let him, like, I don't know what it is, but they always seem to fuck up that badass good guy role. See Roman Reigns, Braun Strowman, who else? Can we list that they fucked up even recently?
Who was like historically the one that they messed up so badly? Like he was a badass or just a jerk or whatever, and people started cheering for him. And as soon as they started cheering, they turned him face. Who the hell was that? It wasn't The Rock.
Oh, I don't know who.
There was somebody. I wish I could remember. And it just killed. It absolutely killed their face turn. Because who's this nerd? Like, this isn't the guy we were cheering for. So,
well, yeah, and someone that is at least turned around his promos ever since he moved back over to the heel department is Seth Rollins.
Dude, that okay? One, which we have since you brought up, we have to talk about it. But Seth is so boring, which is why it's like that. Is that on purpose? All that stuff is just boring as hell to me. Everything he says, I don't care about any of this. And then he beats the shit out of Dominic Mysterio. Like, was that like he said something about paying dues? Is that what just happened? Can't you wait a couple months, put him on the indie scene for a year or two, and let him pay dues that way? Holy shit, man.
Yeah, that was that was about as old school of a beating as I have ever seen on television, at least within the last decade. Like, I know that him and Murphy were hitting his chest and his back, but man, I don't give a shit. Like, I didn't need to see. They're like, oh, WWE put out pictures of Dominic after the beating. I'm like, were you just watching the program? Just watch it. Like, the welts were coming up as it was happening. It's killing me.
I'm like, is that a gimmicked cane or something? No. That's what a cane does, I guess.
I guess I don't even care what it would be. Like, if you did that with, like, any type of a hard object, like, no matter how soft you make it, like, if you're going to be able to swing it with some level of force, like, it's going to cause a welt. You know, I was going to try to compare it to a belt, but that really isn't kind of the right thing to compare it to, you know.
Well, we saw what happened to Cody when he got whipped by that belt, so, I mean, that's fair.
Yeah.
Belts immediately.
Yeah. So. And it's killing me, and I keep on making the joke on Twitter. The referees have some problem with Dominic Mysterio because they come out to help everyone else to break up a beating, but Dominic Mysterio can be fucking tied up in the ropes, taken a cane front and back, and the referees are like, nah, that's okay. He's just a kid.
It is not even just the refs. Like, Umberto got taken out, I guess, Aleister Black somewhere, and nobody else on that roster likes Dominic Mysterio? Like, okay. Like, everyone was so disgusted with Ray's eye getting messed up, they hated Seth for it, but yeah, Dominic's getting his ass beat, and they're all just like, well, that's not Ray. So,
so you know, who gives a
yeah,
shit?
That's,
yeah.
Isn't that the WWE logic anyways? You know, babyfaces don't help each other. Oh, I'm sorry. Since you mentioned this,
oh, okay.
Where was Joe during that beating?
I guess because he said he was being more, because it wasn't the fakes. Yeah, the signing was first. He did kind of allude to being more of an announcer this week. So
he said he was shackled to his desk.
Yeah.
He was shackled to the announce desk, which is hilarious. Because he wasn't last week.
Well, I think that's why they did try to make that clarification, though. Like, I think they were trying to cover their ass for the beating that Dominic was ready to undergo. But still, like, if last week got his dander up, like, you need to kind of raise the stakes. Like, Joe needs to say, I'd get fired if I got involved. Because, like,
I wonder if... Oh, I forgot. Last week, though, was they were trying to take Dominic's eye, right? Was that 2 weeks ago?
Oh.
So
I don't
if that's
know.
The case, then I understand Joe getting up. He's like, all right, enough of this. But I guess Joe's like a wrestler, so he's like, well, this is what happens.
Oh, that's right. Because when he got up, Rollins was giving Tom Phillips a hard time. So yeah, he was kind of defending his announce partner in the moment, because he wasn't even really trying to help out Dominic lose an eye, not lose an eye. It was
that was
mostly
great.
A Tom defending Tom Phillips / Byron Saxton.
Which Saxton's jacked and he used to be a wrestler. It's like, I know they portray him as this giant nerd, but don't you think Saxton can probably throw some hands all right? Like,
I would imagine that if he was put in that position. But, I mean, they just play him off as so meek when anything happens like that. Like, that would be a real shocker to see him. Even if he only gets in, like, one or two punches before Seth Rollins and or Murphy whoop his ass. It would be shocking to see Byron Saxton throw a fist.
Yeah, it would. Wouldn't that be cool?
I'd love it.
The shock value of it? Yeah, that'd be great.
And honestly,
I don't want to see him, be a character, but...
Well, I was going to say, even if he got put into a position like Michael Cole did, a decade ago or so, however long that's been... with Jerry Lawler, obviously he'd be able to pull off a match better than Michael Cole did. But then everyone would see
sure.
that he's
he
ripped.
Yeah, I listened, I was listening to snippets of Byron on, what's his name? The SmackDown announcer, Corey Graves' podcast.
Uh-huh.
And he was talking about how he worked with a bunch of people. I was like, I didn't realize how long Byron's been in the company in some capacity. It's pretty crazy. I think he was talking about, working with Kofi and FCW. Like, huh?
Oh, my God.
No,
I feel like he's at least been on the main roster for the better part of a decade at this point as an announcer, but I guess I didn't realize he went back that deep.
You gotta remember, he was on one of the NXT television shows. When it was like the episodic thing.
Oh my God, I guess... I completely forgot about that.
He's... As much as he gets dogged on, and sometimes rightfully so, that guy has gone and did it. He's still...
Oh yeah, he was a rookie on the fourth season of NXT.
Yeah. I don't even remember that season. Oh, was that the Derek Bateman one? Or EC3 one?
I
think I've given up.
Yeah. That is knowledge that does not need to be in my brain and has been expunged in between then and now.
I'm trying to remember, like, because that show period. I try not to remember, but...
Oh, that was 10 years ago, because there was the 4th season NXT, and then he was on the 5th season of NXT Redemption, but got eliminated May 31, 2011. So the 4th season was either earlier in 2011 or 2010 sometime.
All right. Hey, I know we're kind of all over, but just going backwards...
Sure.
You remember when you were going to PWX and they were having, what was it, Tough Enough, right? With Steve Austin and Booker T. And Gregory Irons got, no, not Gregory Irons, Matt Cross.
Got
pulled from, it was PWX back then, right?
At PWO?
PWO, sorry, PWX is the local one here. So he goes, he gets booted almost immediately, right?
Yeah.
And he's even said it was all just a ploy to make him, like, to make Indy look bad in this and this. Whatever happened, like, I know he's still wrestling. He's still around. But if, after all the guys who've appeared with WWE in some capacity, they usually get some sort of pull. You know, they get pulled in for something.
Oh.
He's one of the guys that I don't remember ever coming back. I mean, ever.
Yeah, like, I don't think he has been, and I would... Of course, I was going to say, I would think that AEW would have offered him something, but he seems pretty happy, like, traveling, like, literally traveling the world, because, like, that guy goes to some pretty bonkers... I follow him on Instagram, and he goes to some pretty, you know, far out there countries, you know, like, the Finlands of the world, and, you know, just not even the ones, like, I mean, I know that he's in Germany on a regular basis, and England, and, you know, like, kind of the main continental part of Europe, and then he's, like, down in South America somewhere, and down in, I don't think he's done Africa, but he's been in Singapore and Japan. Like, the guy has literally been everywhere since that program, but back to the WWE. Like, you would think that even, like you're talking about, like, even just, like, a one-off spot in the one of the Cruiserweight Classics.
Exactly, yeah.
And
just something.
Yeah, and there hasn't been anything. Like, I don't know if they haven't ever reached out to him, if he just turns them down every time. Because just the other day on Twitter, or on the IG there, it was him. I know that he hangs out with Ray Rowe and Sarah all the time, and Ruby Riott. Like, he's still in contact with, you know, WWE wrestlers on the regular. And, yeah, still not pulled in, even though a lot of his buddies are in the fold at this point.
Yeah, it's funny, because he showed up, and well, he was Son of Havoc on Lucha Underground. And then he was on NWA before, you know, the COVID shut everything down. So, I don't know, maybe he signed with them, and that's why he's not doing AEW. I don't know. But it was just, that was since we brought up NXT, that was one that just kind of popped in. I know, like, you ran in that circle for a little bit.
Oh.
So I wasn't sure if there was something you might have known. On why, but yeah, it's,
no.
He's obviously talented, so I didn't understand why. But, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Now he's probably looked at as too old.
I would imagine that he's, I mean, phew, man, I don't think I'm ever going to get it in as good a shape as he's in, but, you know, I know that he's at least in our age range, and he looks great for all things considered. So
I guess he's 40. I would guess.
Oh yeah, I haven't really looked it up.
10 years ago now.
Yeah. So. And it's. I don't think this is going to be an easy look. Oh yeah, this is a little bit easier. 40 on the button.
Oh wow. Right.
So.
But yeah. Now he's that's it, and like. To go back to Raw or whatever, the Dominic stuff, like, okay, we've already seen some flashes from Dominic, so, you know, and Seth is such a good wrestler, that match is going to be fine.
Oh.
When is SummerSlam? What, 22nd?
23rd? Yeah, 2 weeks, I think they're saying on Monday, essentially. You know, 13 days from Monday.
After we get back from the beach again. Sounds good. So, yep. It's that time of year. Jeremy and Elise are sitting home. We don't have social distance far enough on the beach, so that's fine. So,
yeah, well, you know, the whole no job thing will keep you from going to the beach.
Yeah. Well, actually, no. This is the perfect time to go. So.
Well, when
look at it that way.
Yeah, when one person's job doesn't allow you to go out of the state.
Oh, yeah.
Although that has very recently changed, but that was definitely a factor in us not doing anything.
Yeah,
when you have to self quarantine for 14 days if you just leave the state of Ohio, yeah, and not get paid for it, yeah, there are reasons not to leave.
So silly.
We like money.
Yeah, I did. It's funny how even though like. Not millionaires, but like that small degree of money you do make, you're like, no, I kind of like that. This works out pretty well for me. So,
yeah.
I could obviously go for more.
Yeah. But. Never going to argue with more, but, you know, I'm doing okay. So.
That's why I don't get all bent out of shape and like, all these rich people aren't doing anything. Yeah, because they like money they have. Do you not understand this? Like, I understand it's like an astronomical amount to some people. You know, well, I mean, to big celebrities, obviously, or like, especially that Jeff Bezos guy.
Oh, and, yeah.
I mean, can you imagine? That guy has, I don't know if this is true. I saw an article about how his Amazon founder's wealth has gone up during the quarantine or lockdown.
Oh, yeah.
From 103 or 108 billion to 198 billion.
Oh, my God.
I mean, $98 billion from March to now. Or 90 billion. And I'm sorry, I want to make sure I say this right. Billion
okay.
dollars. You know?
Yeah, that's more than I'm ever going to worry about making in my entire lifetime.
I think we can get there. We just got to find that next niche that's going to become the big thing and not do anything with it for 15, 20 years. And then watch everybody else pass you by. You know, something like that.
Yeah, we've just got to wait for the next wrestling boom to come so
dude,
we can just ride that wave when we're in our 60s.
Yeah.
We'll be the old veteran commentators, whatever. Internet celebrities at that point.
To get to something a little more current, this actually goes with the old timer thing. So, did you catch Jim Ross? Like, he wasn't like getting real crabby, but he got like shitty with Taz last night.
Oh.
Did you hear him?
No, I must have missed that. Jim Ross getting crabby is one of the funnier parts. Like, not in a haha funny, but it's one of the funnier parts of AEW at this point.
And I was laughing because, you know, Luchasaurus. Oh, and by the way, the reason I wanted to. Raw and SmackDown are so inconsequential right now. Like.
Oh.
That's why there's not. Like, I don't have a lot to say. Like, they have a lot of characters I like. They got a lot of wrestlers I like. The action's usually really good. That environment sucks. And I think that's why AEW is doing better. Because the product's not any better. I mean, there's some really good stuff, there's some really bad stuff.
Oh.
But. They've got that, was it Daily Place? Davey's Place?
Yeah, Daily's Place, yeah.
And they've actually got people in the crowd up in the top now, which they showed last night.
Right.
So you've got that weird, like, theater-type environment where WWE, every single show is the same. Same setup, same format. Raw is apparently made for people who have the attention span of 1 to 4 milliseconds. Because... Even Elise is starting to notice it. That's how bad that is. And then you watch NXT, or if you watch AEW, they just kind of let the camera sit.
Oh, yeah. That was when I was watching AEW last night. I'm trying to think of whose promo that was. But someone had a longish promo, and I made that smart-ass comment. I'm like, oh, there were 3 camera cuts during this whole thing. And it's just like, why is this hard to figure out? Like, there is no reason, because, like, Seth Rollins 2 weeks ago, it was 31 camera cuts. Good God, man.
See? Good. I'm just glad I pointed that out to you.
Oh, no. No. It's just terrible. Because, yeah, it was one of those things that I wasn't thinking about much, but then, yeah, 3 weeks of you telling me how frequently they're cut, I'm like, oh my God, I can't not see it. And like, yeah, it's one of those things that once it gets pointed out, it's just, you can't unsee it.
Yeah, no, it's, yeah. I'm trying to remember what match it was. I want to say it might have been Bayley Asuka. Who does two run? Oh, no. Andrade. It was Andrade and who did he take on? Oh, not Montez. Dawkins. And he went for those running knees in the corner. He sets up, camera shot. When he turns, they go to the corner to watch him go to the corner. Shot from the corner. Shot back to the middle. He goes in to hit the running knees, which all you need to see is him hit the running knees. Shot, this extreme close-up. Shot to turn away to see the carnage. Shot back to see how dog. I'm like, holy shit. Now, remember how everyone complains Batman Begins, that fight scene at the end? Where you have absolutely no idea what's going on.
Yeah.
Somebody in WWE went, that's a really, really good way of shooting a fight scene. Let's do that for every single match and see how this turns out. Like, I know Kevin Dunn's the executive producer, but he's not the director.
Oh.
So whoever's calling, unless he is calling those shots, especially if it's an edited show, whoever's doing that should be fired. But then the guy in charge doesn't know any better. So he's just like, whatever, pal. Like,
well, and it was one of those... this past week when I was watching SmackDown, I'm like, is it as bad on SmackDown as it is on Raw? And I'm like, oh, it doesn't help whether it's on USA or Fox. Like, I'm like, it's the same thing going on. Like, because, again, like, NXT, you can definitely tell that, yeah, and it was Adam Cole's promo last night that only got, like, three really camera good. Cuts. Mm-hmm. That, they're still not doing anything to at least pull it back to your theme a little bit. Like, Raw and SmackDown aren't doing anything all that interesting. Like, I love, like, all of the inset, not inset promos. How do I want to describe them? Like, because, like, the Dakota Kai had one of the promos last week. Like, it's part vignette, part promo. And because Io Shirai started doing them underwater there for a couple of times, and even hers last night was great again.
I was like, let's see these women go. You had Dakota Kai's and you had hers a little bit later, and I'm like, this is tonight, right? No, I mean, I don't even like Dakota Kai that much. I mean, unfortunately, Io's exactly right in what she said.
Oh, yeah, okay. That was hilarious.
You're not wrong. I mean, they botched Rhea Ripley so badly that they have to go full force on Io right now.
Right.
Rhea Ripley is literally just another wrestler now. That is incredible, considering where she was at the beginning of the year. That is, and the end of last year. It is incredible.
Yeah, that is one of the quicker descents that I have ever seen. You get to be the first woman to defend the NXT title on, even if it was a COVID-related WrestleMania, it was still... They had still done enough build-up for that with the crowd that she was going to be noticed more. And now it's like, hey, I'm desperate. I'm going to dye my hair to see if this helps out.
Well, I mean, that's what she used, that blonde hair. So, I mean, I guess for Charlotte's gone, you're allowed to have blonde hair again. So, but I'm guessing she's a natural brunette. But going by the eyebrows, that's how you're supposed to tell.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, the EO Dakota thing was great. I mean, we can talk about NXT right now. Adam Cole was awesome. I don't understand why Pat McAfee's a thing at all.
Oh, yeah. I don't understand. Yeah, Chris and I had this discussion last week. Like, I guess he might draw in some people to the WWE, but first off, anything that involves Pat McAfee, Kevin always needs to mention, fuck West Virginia. Second off, I just, yeah, I don't get him. I haven't really watched him. You know, I know that Sam Roberts is probably jealous that someone who is in pop culture enough is actually going to get a wrestling match instead of just sitting behind a desk. But oh God, yeah,
could you imagine putting like maybe Sam and Drake Maverick?
Oh,
so Jesus.
Honestly,
even Sam, I'll defend Sam. I'm pretty sure he's not interested at all. Remember that old clip of him getting choke slammed?
No.
Remember, he was an intern on ONA still, or just became a producer. Remember, he was a ring announcer. He got involved in like one of the independent shows, and he actually got chokeslammed during the show.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
Yeah, it sucked.
Anyone that doesn't want to do that, I would not blame them. Like, I don't feel like landing on, even if it's bouncy plywood, I don't feel like landing on plywood multiple times. Like, that does not sound entertaining to me. It does not sound like a good way to make a living.
No, that was one of the fun things. We went to, they had a PWX show after a baseball game here. And Buddy Greg was there, and he's like, that's really interesting that there's like styrofoam. And then they pull the ring apron tight over it. Not styrofoam. Yeah, no. Foam pad, excuse me. Foam pad.
Oh, yeah.
And he goes, that's it? And I was like, yeah, it's just wood and foam pad under it. He goes, I had no idea. I was like, most people don't. Most people think there's like a giant spring under it, which there's not. And yeah, it's brutal. So.
Yeah.
But no, I don't understand this Pat McAfee thing. Like, okay.
Well, I part of it is just due to the fact that Johnny Gargano is kind of in a similar spot. It's like, what do we do with these two guys that have been around NXT? Well, and Gargano's even longer time period, but Adam Cole, what? He was champion for just over a year? Was it 400 days or something like that? What are they?
You know what? They have said it so many times, we should know.
Yeah.
To be honest. But I don't. So.
Yeah, I don't remember. But anyway, Adam Cole has been in
396.
Huh? 396?
96 days, 403 by WWE. So he had it for a good.
Yeah. Just over a year. Yeah. And he, you know. It's just like, well, what do you do with that guy then? Like, it's like when John Cena would lose the title. It's just like, oh, we've got to get him in all of these personal beefs to keep him away from the title picture because it's just silly that he doesn't have the title. And I don't know how well, like, I love Adam Cole as a wrestler. I love that promo last night, too. How well is he going to work when he starts getting into the land of the trees that are in NXT right now against the Karrion Crosses, Keith? I mean, I know that he had a match against Keith Lee, but, you know, I think you and I discussed that on one of the previous shows, like, you're just sitting there the whole time like, nah, Keith Lee should just be whooping this dude.
All right, but isn't that the context of wrestling, though? Because you can always, like, it's always a thing. The little guy or the smaller guy has to be faster, or he has to, like, take the legs out, do something like that, you know?
Yeah.
That's always a story.
Yeah, that's the but, you know, Ray got away with it because they'd give him someone like the Big Show, who was truly bigger but also slower. Like, Adam Cole is not exceptionally fast.
No, but he also, remember, you got to remember back to the Survivor Series or whatever. Was it Survivor Series NXT? When he was showing up, he didn't look out of place. I mean, even with Seth Rollins, he looked all right.
Oh.
And then Seth looks small against Brock, but who the hell's not going to? Or now, a real problem would be somebody like Braun Strowman. But then, isn't everyone going to look kind of small compared to him? So,
He's in that, you know, Brock Lesnar category where unless you're a complete mutant, you're going to look small next to him. You know, Brock and Braun are the only people that don't make them look small against each other. Because, like, even Goldberg doesn't look terrible. Well, of course, this is modern-day Goldberg. Didn't look terribly big next to Braun Strowman and or Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, yes.
So, you know.
No, I really don't worry about Adam Cole. Because, especially after that promo on NXT, I guess last night as it's recording, that was fucking great. And you're like, this guy, people wanted to like him and the Undisputed Era forever anyways. And now, I mean, he's a babyface now, I guess? I don't know.
Hey, well,
it seems so.
And that, I guess that still leads me back to, like, what have we not done with the Undisputed Era? Like, NXT, like, I'm okay with some of the guys like Gargano and Cole sticking around. Well, I guess Ciampa might even be a better example. Of course, he's kind of been MIA himself, TV-wise at least. But I'm okay with some guys sticking around NXT for a longer time period. But you do kind of get stuck in these situations where you need to figure out what to do with them. And I guess fighting with someone who's semi-famous is one way to go. Like, I guess I don't get, you know, like, none of us, I think, that hosts these shows gets Pat McAfee, but if it helps the WWE maybe draw in a few more viewers, I understand. And honestly, just going back to the size thing, it's kind of, it makes me laugh a little bit that an NFL punter is larger than Adam Cole.
Wasn't that always his thing? Like, he was a big kicker or something like that. Punter, kicker, whatever you want to say. Was that kind of the thing with him?
He always kind of had a little bit of more of a tough guy for a punter kind of an attitude, yeah. Because he made a number of special teams tackles, like, without being the last line of defense type of situation.
Oh, I gotcha.
So, yeah, I don't know if he was
he was epically quit, too. Which was not, like, one of his claim to fame, the way he just quit?
He was playing for the Colts, and he's just like, nah, fuck it, I'm done.
They weren't paying him money or something. Yeah. Tryout, I guess.
I don't remember exactly what it was, but I don't blame him. Like, whatever. Like, a punter's only going to make so much money. It's not like, I don't think he's going to be, I wouldn't think punter is one of those positions where the guy's out spending all of his contract money left and right, like some of these knuckleheads in glory positions. Like, you've got to go, oh, I'm a punter, I need to save this money. Or at least make the best use out of it.
Well, I think that's one of the interesting things, to get off on a side, because that's what we do. Who was the number one pick in Joe Burrow's?
Joe Burrow.
He said, like, his NFL contract money, he's just putting to the side. And he's just going to basically live off of his endorsement money. And I know that's, like, a new thing. Other athletes have done that. But I think that's a pretty cool thing to do. Like, that's a very intelligent thing to do.
Yeah.
You know? Because, I mean, how many documentaries are out there or sad stories about guys just wasting their money?
Oh.
And
too many. Yeah, because that 30 for 30 with, what was that? Oh, Broke, I believe was what it was called.
Yeah.
I was just like, and I just even remember, I think it was Jack Clark was one of the first guys in baseball to get paid over $1 million a year. And I remember, you know, it was like 10 years after that. They're like, oh, Jack Clark's broke. And you're like sitting there scratching your head. Then they showed, like, oh, he bought, like, 12 Maseratis, a couple of Ferraris, and you're like, you fucking deserved it, you idiot.
Depreciating items. You've already lost how much money the second you drove it. Like, it's still amazing to me, but
yeah.
Yeah, but no, so it's good on him. But no, I don't understand it. But then you've got Dream comes back in such a weird fashion. He's the special, like, he comes back, and you're like, oh, okay, here's, finally, Velveteen's back. And then he doesn't win. And it's like, wait, what? Just to set up a match for next week between him and Finn. Like, shouldn't that be on pay-per-view or TakeOver?
You would think that you'd want that to be a TakeOver match at some point. Like, I know that you can still do that and have them have a personal feud. But, yeah, it's going to be weird that it's going to be a little bit of a blow-off match, so to speak. But of course they got thrown into a really weird spot, I guess, because who was that Dexter Lumis got, because I'm assuming that he was legitimately injured and they just needed to change plans.
Yeah. Which is okay, because he was going to be a little bit of an overkill for a guy that never talks, barely talks, you know?
Yeah.
I don't mind him. I like Sam Shaw, Dexter Lumis, but okay.
Yeah, well, you're right. Like, when you don't talk, you're just, you know, there's a limit to what you can do. You know, you're not going to have, like, that Adam Cole trying to talk trash to Pat McAfee type of moment. Like, yeah, it's just not going to work. Like, Big Show needed to talk when he was taking on Floyd Mayweather. You know, like, if you're going to do some type of crossover kind of situation, or even succeed more on the main roster in the end, I would think that you're going to need to bust out some type of promo work.
Yeah, I really can't name somebody. I mean, even, rest in peace, Kamala. Even he, like, would yell, you know, something. Also, Dexter Lumis gets cut off a lot before he can say anything, so I mean, that's probably part of it, too. But, I really enjoyed NXT. It had some weird stuff, but the promo stuff is so far ahead of AEW that I think part of the problem with NXT right now, if you want to look for problems with them, is that they're trying to develop a lot of new people. I mean, Bronson Reed comes out of nowhere. They've really been pushing... what the hell's Trevor? Cameron Grimes. I've been pushing him a lot. Getting Damian Priest on TV more, which is he a face now? I was confused by the crowd reaction, because they're using the people in the crowd and canned applause.
Yeah, sweetener. So,
okay, which is, his character didn't make sense to begin with. He was the man of the future or whatever, and now he's just some dude.
The Archer of Infamy just doesn't really give you an idea either.
Like, doesn't make any sense either.
Yes, there's usually some, if you're going to give someone a nickname, it usually tilts in the heel or babyface direction one way or the other. And that one just, I'm like, so you're Cupid? Question mark? I don't know.
I never thought of Cupid as an archer, but yeah, I guess Cupid would be an archer, huh?
Yes.
Well, I've got like Green Arrow, Hawkeye, Robin Hood.
Yeah.
What was the blonde dude in Lord of the Rings? Legolas?
Legolas.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess those are all baby faces, but I still don't think it leans one way or the other. And plus, sometimes they try to pull off that gray line, and it just doesn't really work. And it just seems like they've kind of let that go with him. And even Dijakovic for a little bit, because Keith Lee, I think, is firmly in the baby face side of things.
Yeah, he's great too. So,
yeah.
Boy, all right. Him getting burnt up last night surprised me. I was like, well, that was a pretty easy contract signing. Like, wow, all right. And then the fireball pops. I was like, oh, I don't know if I've ever seen that before. Where the contract actually had the flash paper in it. Like, Well, okay, totally unnecessary, but all right, just when you think you can't see something new, you see it. And, like,
yeah,
you know, they said he was fine, and then, you know, Mia Yim went to the hospital, like, all of it made sense, comes back. And the reason I said it's not necessary is, like, does Karrion Kross really need parlor tricks?
Oh.
You know, he's just been a badass ever since.
Yeah, like, I mean, he's pretty much squashed everyone that he could. Like, I think Damian Priest might be the only one on the list that he hasn't just manhandled at this juncture. And Keith Lee, obviously. Because they had him take out Bronson Reed and Dijakovic already.
Oney Lorcan twice.
Yeah. It was almost comical, but, you know, you kind of need different people in there. But it was almost comical that Danny Burch was his opponent this week. Like, as much as I love Danny Burch, just the way that they presented Karrion Kross to this point, it's like, come on, man. I know what way this match is going.
We know a murder's about to happen. I mean, and that's pretty much what happened. And it's, all right, and I know everyone will say stuff like this, but it's like, I like NXT the way it is. I like the people they have. And I don't look forward to any of them leaving for the main roster. Because, you know, as soon as they go to that main roster, Karrion Kross and Scarlett have been broken up. They're going to pull some other stupid shit because...
Oh, they need to put their stamp on it.
Yeah, and that's a good team. She's like this little... I don't know, not a pixie. I guess that's Candace, which we have to talk about their... going to bed ritual real quick, but it'll make sense in a second.
Okay.
Scarlett comes out. She's like a little harbinger, and all of a sudden, Karrion's there. Like, I love the entrance. It's all her. It's all her. Bam! There he is. Like, there's the steak, and would she be the sizzle, and he's the steak? Is that how that term works?
Yeah. She is 100% sizzle.
That's sure. If that's one, that's one word, dude. I texted you that on purpose. Like,
I'm just gonna say that that was the best part. Her take. Not that I wanted to see her take on Disco Inferno necessarily, but I'm just gonna say that watching her wrestle was enjoyable.
Man, she used to wrestle in Mexico all the time. That was actually a pretty ingenious little impact thing. It made you think that she couldn't do anything. It's like, no, she's been in Mexico wrestling. So,
yeah.
Okay.
And it will be interesting if they ever have her. I don't know. Like, it's always one of those things that, because I say it about AEW's women for the most part, like, the women that are in the WWE right now are so smooth at wrestling. I don't think she's bad at wrestling, but I'm not sure if she's as smooth. Like, and plus, like, it's still crazy. Like, just all the women that they were trotting out on NXT, it's just like, what? Like, they just keep on, even that Indy Hartwell, I'm like, oh, yeah, she's pretty good, too.
She's pretty good, too, right? Yeah, I love the same thing.
Yes. Like, she's losing left and right, but I'm like, damn, man, she is pretty good at her job.
I must have missed it. So, I'm guessing Indy Hartwell's first win over Shotzi Blackheart was due to Rock Stone?
Yeah.
I must have missed that, because I was like, wait, shit, what?
Yeah, I think, Mercedes Martinez did something.
Oh, okay.
Or maybe it was Aaliyah. It might have been Aaliyah, but one way or the other, it was the Robert Stone brand. Kind of caused her to take her eye off the ball, and she ended up losing. So
I like that. The Robert Stone thing doesn't make much sense, but whatever, Mercedes gets to wrestle, that's fine with me.
That's the biggest one to me. What happened to, like, I guess I assumed that what's her name that left the Robert Stone brand?
I don't know.
I'm completely blanking on her name.
Chelsea Green.
Oh, Chelsea Green. Like, yeah, I'm like, oh, she's leaving the Robert Stone brand. I'm like, oh, she's going up to the main roster then. I was like, she's been around long enough that I'm like, sure, makes sense to me. And just crickets. Crickets, yeah, I mean, ever since.
Looking at her Instagram feed, which is what I'm doing, she looks healthy. Not in a perverted way. She looks fine. No cast, no sling, no nothing.
Yeah.
So, there were rumors that she was going to be partnering up with Charlotte, and Charlotte's gone. So they're like, crap, we don't have anything. It's like, well, why not just push her on her own like she had been?
Oh.
So...
well, that's a good question. But yeah, I mean, they even have other women like Chelsea Green. Like, again, like I guess I didn't think Scarlett was bad, but I definitely think that the WWE has so many women in there, especially even in NXT, ahead of her, that's just like, man, I do think that she's a good combo. Like, this week's entrance was the best one, I think. Like, the most well-filmed and the best laid out. Because you really did see her, like you were talking about. You saw her the whole time. And then all of a sudden, she dips down and he just pops up with that maniacal laughter. And, like, the fog machine was just right. And I thought the lighting was just right. Like, they've been doing something similar. But I feel like they kind of... either changed up the filming or changed up exactly how they came out in the entrance. And it really, like, I liked it from the jump, but it was even better last night.
Yeah, I really enjoyed NXT. I mean, it's not perfect. Nothing's going to be. But I thought the good was so far above the bad. I mean, it's not easy mixing your old guys and new guys. And then we also got to see that Johnny Gargano waits till right before bedtime to change light bulbs. And then dangerously leaves a ladder at the end of the stairwell, coming back down. Did you catch that? He replaces a light bulb, then goes, all right, let's go to bed. Shuts the light off and goes to bed. Like, that couldn't wait until the morning? And put the goddamn ladder away. You're going to wake up in the middle of the night and fall right into the thing. That was the first thing I thought of. Like, this is hilarious. It's so dumb. I know it's like he's trying to show off, like, I'm a badass. Like, okay. By changing a light bulb on a stepladder. Not even a full ladder. So dumb. And it says goodnight to Doc Hendricks, which that's always going to get a laugh. So.
Yeah, I mean, that's just another one of those fun promos that you just don't really see up on the main roster that I enjoy. Like, it's kind of weird. And I guess I didn't think about that being his bedtime ritual. Yeah, if I'm going to change a light, it's not... unless it's in desperate need of changing, that shit is waiting until the morning.
Yeah.
And that was, like, in the middle of the living room. So, no, that did not need to be changed right then.
Yeah, it just cracks me up that NXT... and I know it's a smaller roster, right? But... unless I don't understand the dynamics of the main roster, SmackDown and Raw have different writing teams. I know Bruce Pritchard's like overseeing them both, but they're still two different writing teams. How the hell can you not, like, unless because of their layoffs that they've consolidated, how can you not have a successful string of promos? I mean, you could be doing so many different things. I mean, but nothing. Oh. I mean, nothing is done. We see Retribution throwing Molotov. Like, shut the fuck up.
Oh, like, Jesus. Yeah. That I could see. That honestly was, and to, I guess, get back to Raw a little bit, that was the worst part of Raw. Like, they just seem to have no... like, it's one of those things where, especially anyone that watched during the Attitude Era... like, when you saw what they were destroying then, and now you can just hear, like, Vince McMahon yelling into the headset, hey, only break one pane of glass. Like, it costs too much money to replace all of those. Well, I'm sorry. Like, if they're trying to be destructive to your property, like, more destruction needs to be done. And, oh, my Lord, they tried to call that a transformer. I'm like... just go and fuck right off.
Yeah. And that's fine, whatever, but at the same time, whatever. You know, like, just stop.
Yeah.
But yeah, the retribution thing, I guess Dijakovic is one of them. He messed up and put something on his Twitter feed and took it down real quick, but you know, it always gets noticed.
Oh.
So.
Well, good for him. He didn't need any more seasoning either. And he was, I mean, he was kind of at a weird point. You know, he's had some title matches and basically failed in all of them. So, I mean, I guess you could, but, you know, it's one thing to have Johnny Gargano has failed X number of times. Can he finally succeed? It's kind of weird to do that with a gentleman the size of Dijakovic.
Yeah, yeah. But no, man, I like I said, I enjoyed NXT. I guess we need to mention AEW because yeah. They had some positive stuff on there. I really enjoyed MJF again. And I know it got a little convoluted, but I love the fact that he sent his people into the crowd because that's where Jon Moxley always comes from. Because it's been firmly established he has no friends backstage, so he doesn't hang out backstage. So, of course, he comes from backstage. I'm like, okay, that's pretty smart.
Yeah, it was a little too predictable. I was just like, why are they all running up the same set of stairs? I'm like, why didn't... I was like, there isn't a set of stairs, like, through the back of the stage area anywhere? Or you don't want some... I guess to me, like, if you're trying to be careful and protect yourself, you have someone guard all of the entrances. I guess I know that the logical choice is to have people go up, you know, through the stands where Moxley comes through most of the time, but, like, you didn't see him anywhere.
Yeah.
And it's just like, guys, come on. Like, I know you have eyeballs. Like, you don't need to go that far up. Just kind of wait around ringside at, like, all... And I guess that was the thing that kind of bothered me. It's just, like, wait at all four corners of, you know, the... Because they just have the metal guardrail right now, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, just wait at all four corners of the metal guardrail, and then you have everything covered, and... You don't, but yeah, that doesn't make for a good, I don't know if you really call that a beatdown necessarily, just because of how quick it was.
Yeah.
It was a beating at least, but I'm not sure I'd call that a beatdown necessarily. I feel like more violence needs to be inflicted for it. Well, yeah. That and more people need to be involved, for a beatdown.
Yeah. See, I think like, you know me, I like the shows rough around the edges, too. So even, like, the Moxley interview after, like, he gets out of the ring.
Oh.
And goes backstage, grabs a mic, and then starts talking to stuff because he knows, you know,
someone's coming.
Get him back there.
Yeah.
Instead of waiting in the ring, you know?
Yeah,
and
that...
then you see, like, the backstage area, all that stuff. Like, yeah, this is rough around the edges. Like, this is pretty good. And then MJF is so good. Like... he teeters on that point of, like, this guy's making excellent points. And then he just does something to make you hate him. You're like, that's good shit. This is good.
Yeah, he's enjoyable. I just make fun of him because his suits are terrible.
Well, that's part of the thing, though. I mean, oh, did you catch? All right, so when it was time for him to come to the ring, did you catch him pushing that guy out of the way?
Yeah. But was it someone in particular?
You know what that is? Okay. Back in NXT, remember Samoa Joe just waylaid guy who was getting in his way? That was MJF.
Oh.
Go back and, like, just look for Samoa Joe pushes MJF or something like that, GIF. And, I mean, he crunches him. So when MJF does that to the guy, he goes, get out of my shot. That was very funny.
I'm glad you pointed that out. I never would have thought about that.
Yes. Oh, that's the first thing I thought. I was like, oh, he finally pseudo got his revenge. He gets to do it to somebody else now. But then they had the open opening match, whatever. I think I've just come to the realization I don't like the Young Bucks.
Oh my God, that that left a bad taste in my mouth. But the rest of the night really wasn't too bad. Like, because the finish to that match was so contrived. Because A, why is your veteran referee letting three guys outside of the ring basically barricade another man out of the match?
Uh-huh.
Without leveling some type of threat or throwing them out of ringside. And then it just so happened that the referee was positioned perfectly to make, because were they fighting Grayson and Uno? Yeah. That Stu Grayson had to jump over the referee.
I thought it was Stu Grimson.
No.
I'm thinking of the hockey player.
Yeah, you're thinking of the hockey player.
I've been thinking of Stu Grimson the whole time because of the hockey player. Wow.
Yeah, it's Grayson. But
no, you're exactly right.
Yeah, the referee was positioned just perfectly so that Grayson had to jump over him to break up the pinfall and ended up being too late for it. I'm just like, get the fuck out of here. Like, just, like, so the show started off with a sour taste in my mouth, but after that, things were pretty good, honestly, after that. Like, AEW, the 2 weeks before that had really kind of driven me up a wall. But,
what really got me with the Bucks, I'm like, all right, whatever. And then one is watching Being the Elite, and I know they're just being jerks because, like, they're losing, like, the old people demo. But it's, like, the fundamental stuff that made wrestling what it is and which would actually help them, they're always so stupid about it. Like, they're talking about, well, I gotta sell my knee. Yes. That's called the art of wrestling, dumbass. Like, so basically, the Young Bucks philosophy, from what I can tell by their videos and their interviews, is if you get kicked in the face, it doesn't matter. You're not really getting kicked in the face, so don't worry about it. Like,
oh.
Well, then why would anyone ever get pinned? If moves don't matter, if you're not selling something, no match should ever have an ending. You should just be able to do whatever moves you do.
Yeah.
So it's a flawed philosophy by some guys who got lucky and found a billionaire. You know, I mean, I know they were making good money, but goddamn.
Well.
And I'm guessing maybe they're doing this just to satiate their audience. But God, I mean, they sound ignorant as fuck. And I think that's why I'm slowly turning off.
Yeah, it was one of those things for me where I felt like when they were over in New Japan, New Japan's like, nah, you're doing things this way. And I felt like they were starting to get a little more structure and selling to their matches. And they started to make a little more sense to me than some of their indie stuff. So I'm like, oh, this will carry over. But as the more AEW has gone along, the more they've gone back to their own natural tendencies. And it's just making their matches worse and worse.
Yeah. And then there was, okay. What was that segment with them, FTR, and then the Rock and Roll Express, and then Tully and Arn? Like, what? You brought these guys out there to say what inspirations they were, and then to jerk yourselves off over it? Like, what is this? And then the end was hilarious. Ricky Morton got murdered last night, and no one called the cops. I told Lisa, like, they just killed Ricky Morton. And I know the old man, he's still doing it. He was still in NWA, so they're still going.
Oh, right. Yeah, I saw him do a Canadian Destroyer, so, like, yes. I'm not too worried about Ricky Morton.
Shouldn't that move, remember when Petey Williams first did that move, how awesome it was?
Uh-huh.
And now everybody, that move should kill somebody. You should be out of wrestling months after that one. Like, that's how bad that move should be. But whatever. But then, I was going to say, the obvious joke is how Robert Gibson didn't see that coming.
But I'm
soft air fodder, but holy shit. When the person you live with who doesn't really know what's going on goes, what's wrong with him? I was like, oh shit. Yeah, old Robert. Oof. Anyways, I thought that was really good, and then the Bucks are like, why'd you guys do that? And it's like, and I understand it was like, you know, the past and the future, the past and the present. So they're like, they're the Rock and Roll Express, and then they're Tully and Arn, which is hilarious because it was never the Rock and Roll Express and Tully and Arn. It was the Rock and Roll Express and Midnight Express.
Oh, so right.
It's like, mm-hmm. That's what they were going to. Like, whatever. So, in the end, like, I don't understand why they didn't say the Rockers, or they didn't say, like, they were talking about, like, people's teams. But they were talking about the people in the team, not the team name. Like, you're allowed to say something else. You don't have to pay royalties or any of that sort of stuff.
Oh. So
that confuses shit.
Yeah, but that was pretty weird.
I think that segment just for the murder. I mean, Ricky Morton, I never liked the Rock and Roll Express. I'll say it over and over again. I was always a Midnight Express guy.
Right.
But boy, he knows what he's doing. I mean, that is a pro's pro. He's got to sit there next to the Young Bucks who sell nothing. Like, okay.
And compliment them.
Yeah. Thanks for having us on our show, even though we were just on the NWA getting money. Yeah, thanks. Like, maybe I'm looking at it wrong, but yeah, it was still cool to see.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a pretty... If you really think about this, those guys... I know they're wrestlers. I know they're still wrestling. But they just put a spike pile driver on a 60-something-year-old man who has a mullet still, by the way. Everything about that segment seems awesome. I mean, this guy who's just, like, trapped in whatever world he's in, it was great. I love the end. I hated the beginning. And then I love dickhead Kenny Omega. I wish he would have been that way the whole time.
Oh.
He's great. Smacking around Marco Stunt. Why? Because why wouldn't you? And then just doing all that shit that's not even necessary to the point where even Hangman Page is like, what are you doing?
Yeah, he's out-dicked Hangman Page.
Yeah, well, yes and no. So in their matches, yes. Outside the ring,
no.
Not really, because Hangman Page came to the rescue with a drink in his hand. That's the screams, I don't care more than that. Like,
right.
Yeah, that's not even like I have a problem. That's a I don't care. Like, I'm supposed to walk out here and that's it. Like, it was great.
Yeah, that character is very enjoyable at the current moment.
And then Cody and Scorpio Sky should have never happened already. I know they want to give internet people what they want, but that seemed right for Scorpio to take the next step. Then he loses. Like,
and I guess that was the other match that I kind of had a little bit of a problem with. Is it was just like, I feel like Eddie Kingston had a longer match against Cody Rhodes than Scorpio Sky did. Like, how's that going to help out Scorpio Sky? Like, it's one thing if he kind of has a near loss after a long match. And I guess he did kick out of one Crossroads, but I'm like, man, that isn't enough, in my opinion.
I don't know, because Crossroads, a lot of people get out of. So him kicking out was like, okay, you know? Like, I didn't have a problem with the match. It was good. Scorpio Sky is good, but it's like, it seemed like in a Ascension stored a moment. Like, all right, here we go.
Yeah.
But then I'm sure they have something else. And then Brody Lee comes out straight fire, which was, obviously I'm a fan. I want to see him kill Cody Rhodes next week or whenever, 2 weeks, whenever it is.
Yeah. And I mean, because, awesome. Yeah, they need to almost do something like that just because they keep on selling how much Cody Rhodes is over wrestling, at this point, but A, when it's once a week, I have a hard time with that sales pitch. But if that's the route you're going to go, like, he needs to lose, and the Dark Order needs some level of credibility at this point. Because they've got nothing. And it's always the best to have the top guy have the belt. In any faction. Yeah. And he's clearly the top guy.
Yeah, but it's all right, so I kind of like the psychological part of it. It was, all right, he treats those guys like garbage, right?
Oh, yeah.
Especially if you watch Being the Elite. I mean, Being the Elite, they're kind of a comedy group on there. But then on the show, he gets pissed at him, like, all right, you guys lost again. Like, what are we doing? And then all of a sudden, he plays good boss, big brother, whatever. He's like, do you think we're going to let this go the way you treated them? And it's like, well, wait, what? And he's like, I'm going to ruin you for what you've done to these guys. It's like, so the boss is stepping up now? I know it's like part of the cult. He's going to, like, you know, do this for this or whatever. But,
yeah,
I mean, that was great. It kind of saved the disappointment of Scorpio Sky losing. And I'm not even the biggest Scorpio Sky fan. But if something needed to happen, I just thought it was right then.
Oh, but yeah.
I still wonder if they're smart enough not to pull off these big moments yet.
That was something that I did read this week. I think Google popped up that story saying that AEW's kind of learned from the WWE putting the title on. You know, as much as I've loved Drew McIntyre's promos too, and I think he's been great, but you can't prove anything because there hasn't been a crowd. So, you know, you and I may think he's killing promos, but until you get some type of a real crowd and not just, you know, performance center people there, it's going to be hard to say. Like, honestly, I'm really a little shocked that they haven't had fans there just because Florida's seemingly lawless.
WWE?
Yeah, the WWE.
Well, no, remember they had that COVID outbreak? That was supposed to have happened. Remember, like, 30 people tested positive for COVID and all that for WWE?
30?
Yeah. It was, like, 25 to 30 people, yes. Like, not wrestlers, but backstage people, some of the NXT guys, some of the talent as well, which maybe that's where Chelsea Green is. Don't know, obviously. Yes. It was some ridiculous number, because that's what they were looking to move SummerSlam to Atlantic City, I think. Somewhere like that. So they could get fans in.
Oh.
Because, you know, the building's the problem. That's why. So.
Oh.
But yeah. There was still speculation at SummerSlam they were going to bring fans in, and I guess it came out yesterday they're not going to.
Okay.
But, like, I understand what you mean with Florida, too. That I expected the same thing.
Well,
I haven't even seen AEW doing it.
And they soon enough copied the Performance Center people from AEW. But, yeah, I mean, I guess if you had problems, it's one thing. Like, I guess they did. Oh, that's right, because they brought in the fans. I guess I didn't realize it was quite that many people. Because didn't some of, like, they tried to bring in family and friends, and then that's when the problem happened?
Yes.
Okay.
That was another part of it, yeah.
And just even another thing, like, I'm just watching these, I'm watching New Japan in the background. It's just like, well, maybe if our country could get our shit together, they'd just have fans everywhere. But, you know, what are you going to do? but yeah, I guess maybe the WWE's been bit in the ass a little bit more by it, but I guess I'm still kind of surprised that they haven't tried to go back to something like that before now.
Yeah, I guarantee you by October, November, they're gonna have fans back of some capacity, and hopefully they're not trying to control how they act too, which is always a problem. Everything WWE has to be manipulated. So
yeah,
but for AEW, that's why I know that they're having, was it Double or Nothing in September, right?
Yeah.
Is it All In? No, it's All In, isn't it?
Sure.
All In was Memorial Day. Yeah, you're right. And, so I'm surprised they're going with MJF Moxley already, unless they're making plans to have some sort of crowd there. Because they flirted with it last night, because when they showed Kazarian, you could see people in the stands way back there.
Oh, yeah.
And then Cody was even playing up to him as well. So there's some sort of fan base there watching.
Yeah, and I would kind of expect something like the like I said, the WWE kind of followed suit. I would just have to think that maybe they'll be a little more cautious than they were last time.
Man, you would hope. But it's like, why weren't they to begin with? You know what I mean? Like,
oh.
You have a company that's worth billions of dollars, depending on the day of the week, right?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you be taking every precaution to protect that? Because if everyone gets sick, someone dies, someone sues you, you've got liability. And if you weren't taking necessary precautions, or remember they were telling people, do not wear a mask in the crowd.
Yeah.
You're directly saying, don't follow these health protocols.
Or you end up doing because I know that some of the campuses, the university campuses are doing it, have people sign a liability waiver.
I'd be like, go fuck off.
Oh, no. Yeah. Well, that's why I'm not going to one of those shows anywhere. Because I know that's basically the situation that I'm putting myself in, and I don't trust wrestling fans.
No.
So,
wrestling fans, like some of the shows we go to, exaggeration, don't bathe. We've run into it, how many times? You're like, God damn.
Oh.
You're not even going out in public, right? So, if you can't do something simple, like put some soap in your hair and then maybe let it wash over your body. I'm not even asking you to soap your body up. Just let it fall. Just let it cascade down you. I have no expectation that you're actually going to like try to prevent yourself from getting sick or getting somebody else sick. So no. Yeah. So. I wish that was a joke too, you know?
Oh yeah. Yeah, I wish it was too, but it isn't.
Yeah, reality fucking sucks.
Yep. Can. Well,
you gotta make it better. So.
And the reality is, due to personal time constraints, we need to get out of here.
I've been watching. So, our ending could be probably quicker or just as long as the AEW women's match on Dynamite, by the way. That was embarrassing. We get into it next time.
Have
a women's division or don't. One of the two.
I just kind of had a laugh that they made a big deal out of the Deadly Draw tournament, but then they're putting none of it on TV. Like, I was just like, this is going to stink because their women's wrestlers stink. And then it's just like, oh, yeah, we know that it stinks, which is why we're just going to throw it on YouTube and not put it on our TV show. Except for the, I think the main event or the conclusion of the tournament is going to be on the special show next Saturday. But when you skip a whole tournament and just show that, you're... as the kids like to say, you're telling on yourself.
Yeah. Or if you're doing stuff on YouTube, have a goddamn women's show on YouTube then. I honestly think that's better than having a 4-minute match with introductions and ending for one match. So So you guys can jerk yourself off with the Rock and Roll Express. So anyways, let's get out of here. Sorry. I should have brought it up. But.
At DeFrango11, at Granny Maze, the brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, wherever the fuck you happen to listen to us. And have a good night.